CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Victoria Coates, former Deputy National Security Advisor, the Trump administration, now Senior Fellow at the Center for Security Policy, writing most recently about the change of government in Jerusalem, in Israel. Bibi Netanyahu, years and years, if you count the two iterations of his prime ministership, much more than a decade, in charge of the government of Israel. The last several elections, four or five, I lost count, the Groundhog Day elections resulted in no particular winner, so a decision was made by a coalition of 61 seats in the Knesset. That's what you need to have a prime minister, 61 seats, to oust or ask to leave or replace Netanyahu's 30 or 33 seats in his Likud party. However, what is to be done? Victoria, a very good evening to you. First, we attend to the coalition, which you remark in your article is unusual. Unusual how, and what do we know so far in these early days of the coalition management of Israel's security and prosperity? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me on. This is certainly a fascinating week for Israel watchers. And what's unusual about the coalition, for starters, is no single figure within the coalition can claim a majority. The now Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has only six seats for his party. So that's hardly a robust representation. As you say, Likud has more than 30. So that's one factor that makes this a little unstable. But then the other is the wide diversity within the coalition. It's not a coalition that's come together over any ideological framework on which it agrees. And for the first time, we have an Islamist Arab party represented, which, as a precedent, I think is only a good thing, you know, for Israel and Israel's democracy. But it's very hard to see how that party and Bennett's far right party can agree on the contentious issues that are going to come before this parliament.
Mr. Bennett and his colleagues inherit two strong pillars of Israel's life. And you and I have observed this closely. You, as an official of the Trump administration and before working in the Congress, observed that over these last 20 years, Israel is transformed in two tracks. One is security and the other is prosperity. Let's speak of prosperity first. When I first traveled to Israel, I was invited during the conflict in 2003, the Siege of Bethlehem, the disruption of the whole economy. There was unbuilt parts of the old city inside and outside the wall that are today are shopping malls of high-end goods from Europe. All of that happened while Bibi Netanyahu was either finance minister or prime minister. Do you measure this new coalition intends to continue that prosperity? Because as we know, it's the backbone of security.
It really is. And I mean, I would hope so. You know, it's not clear what things are along those lines, but certainly the just explosion of economic growth in Israel, particularly as finance minister Netanyahu started to dismantle what was a really, I would say, sort of socialist 1970s style left wing economy, which is what Israel had. And, you know, he's been very focused on deregulation. There's a lot of work still to do on that front to really free up the Israeli economy. But we saw a couple of weeks ago, the Israelis and the Emiratis come to a very technical deal to end a kind of double taxation trap for companies doing business in both the Emirates and Israel. And it's that kind of agreement that will just open up channels for further growth. So I would be hopeful the new government will be very focused on that, particularly as we come out of the pandemic.
You also mentioned in your article for National Review that energy has been an area where the Israelis are enjoying success with partnerships in the region. I think natural gas is the driver here. But what was necessary was Israel to make certain that it was not going to be frozen out or elbowed out by international geopolitical concerns. And I think that you've already mentioned working with the Emiratis. In other words, Israel is working with the energy sheikhdoms of the Middle East. And that is, I believe that is stable. Do you see any reason to question whether the new coalition is going to undo those achievements?
I would be very hopeful that they wouldn't. It's enormously important for Israel's energy security and to have the connections both in the Eastern Mediterranean and, as you say, with the Gulf. And also important to note that Israel is a leader in alternative and renewable technologies. They're about working on an enormous solar plant in the south, which will be very important to them. And so, you know, they're building up a very resilient energy posture, something I think we should take note of here in the United States, to be both natural gas and fossil fuels and renewables and alternatives. So, you know, again, I don't know much about their new energy minister. Minister Steinitz, the outgoing energy minister, was a very good friend and had some enormous successes, particularly making deals with Egypt that are very profitable for Israel. So hopefully that legacy will continue.
Security. I go quickly past the pandemic because a great success of the vaccination, which is security, I understand that, and credit Bibi Netanyahu, but his achievements are so many. He's like an overladen Olympic star. You know, we can't talk about any particular gold medal. We have to go to security. The recent Gaza war, however, does raise the question of an endless war. Do you measure this new coalition? It is already vouchsafed, I believe, an IDF strike in Gaza. Do you see any change in the weather when it comes to either the rockets from the south or the potential rockets from the north?
Well, that's going to be the major question. And in writing the National Review piece, you know, I was reflecting on the trajectory that Netanyahu has witnessed personally in terms of Israel's security posture from, you know, the 70s and 80s, where the threats were from the Arabs, to getting into the 90s when the threat from Iran started to really come into focus. And that became, you know, a great passion of his to alert the world to this existential danger to Israel, which is also a danger to Europe and ultimately to the United States, depending on their missile technologies. So the concern I would have about the coalition, particularly in terms of any activity, particularly from Hamas or other groups in West Bank, is, you know, how does the Arab faction within the coalition respond to that? You know, are they going to break away and disrupt the coalition because of a strong stance on the part of a Bennett or a Lapid or Lieberman against provocations from the terror groups within the Palestinian factions. So that is a great worry, and you know, I'm hopeful it won't be tested, but if history be our guide, it will be, and that will be a major litmus test.
Final minute, Victoria. Bibi Netanyahu has stepped off stage, but he's not left the theater. Do I read you correctly that you believe there might be another act?
Well, I think for sure there's another act. Remember that Mr. Netanyahu is the son of an eminent historian, and so I think he is very conscious of his place in history, and he wants to cement his legacy naturally enough. But at the same time, he does have 30 seats. He will be the leader of the opposition. And, you know, in the event that this very fragile new coalition doesn't hold together, you know, I'm sure he would participate in any upcoming election.
Victoria Coates, former Deputy National Security Advisor for the Trump presidency and also the Senior Fellow for the Center for Security Policy, measuring where we are now with a new and untested Israeli government. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.